I have something to tell you. I discovered that coffee will actually only carry me so far. Yeah, this is difficult to admit because I do love my Java, but there does come a point when we have to intentionally set up rhythms of rest. Am I right? Today's guest, Deanna Mason, will take us through her journey of finding rest, plus so many practical tools to rest in and with God. Here we go. Welcome to the Making Room semester of the Faith School podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life. Surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. My guest today is Deanna Mason, who is a rest consultant and founder of Refreshed Moms, where she teaches entrepreneurs and leaders how to plan and enjoy spiritual mini sabbaticals from work in order to exchange a life that feels overextended to one filled with opportunities for rest. You guys, this episode is sure to encourage you and really give you some great starting points to make room for rest. And by the way, I am loving this semester. The Making Room semester will be all about making room for the abundant life, how we declutter the things that get in the way to make room for the good things of God. And you guys, we have so many incredible conversations that are coming up in the next few months. I cannot wait for you to hear them. This semester, we wanted to invite you to take action. So we're going to declutter from the inside out with the Life Decluttered Mini Challenge. In 10 minutes a day, you can take your first step from overwhelmed to a holistic, decluttered way of living. We will begin our journey to clear the clutter in our homes, inboxes, calendars, bodies, minds, hearts, and spirits in order to make room for something greater. Are you ready? Join the 7-day challenge today through the link in our show notes. Let's listen in on my conversation with Deanna Mason. Welcome, Deanna, to Faith School. I'm really honored that you're here and that we get to talk about rest together. That's super awesome. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. What a wonderful name for a podcast, Faith School.
Thank you.
I have such a passion for teaching the Bible. So I'm just very drawn to the name of that just because it's like, yeah. This is where you come to learn how to walk out your faith. So amazing.
Thank
awesome.
You. I am so glad that it brings clarity to our show. I had a name before that I had to explain every time what it meant.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, this isn't working. So God, what do you want me to call this show? Because I do not know what to do. And
perfect.
The name just came to me one day. So
yeah.
I just praise the Lord for that.
I love it. Awesome.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about rest, which I know from my audience and from my listeners that, you know, we want to figure out how to rest, but it just feels really hard. It feels really hard, Deanna. And so I want to know kind of a bit more about your experience and what your relationship with rest has looked like over time.
Mm-hmm. My experience with rest. Well, I'm pretty much a serial entrepreneur. I've been working for myself in ministry capacities as well as just general entrepreneurial capacities since mm-hmm. my children were really little. Now my kids, just for context, they're now 14 and 16.
Okay.
So I have older, more independent children now, which makes for a completely different expression of life season, just mm-hmm. so you guys know. So any moms out there that have littles running around, I completely understand that it's not apples to apples when we're approaching rest.
Mm-hmm.
But my journey with rest started when my kids were really little and I was running a nonprofit organization from my home office. Mm-hmm. And I was also homeschooling my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where I was working 40 plus hours a week, trying to also maintain homeschool and, you know, all the home responsibilities, marriage responsibilities. And after 3 years of that pace, I reached a point of burnout.
Yeah.
And just remember sitting at the table with my kids for breakfast. It was over the summer and I was realizing there's no way I could pull off a whole another year of what I had just experienced and decided that, and keep in mind, I had zero skills in regards to resting. I had no relationship with rest at that point.
Right.
You know, this was during the time where the self-care hashtag wasn't like everywhere, you know, talking about self-care, even though I absolutely do not put Sabbath rest and self-care in the same container. And the more we talk, I'll talk about that. But still back then I'd had no idea of how to make room for the things that I needed in regards to my wellness and care outside of working out and eating right. Those types of things, which are important, but I was exhausted. I was about 30 pounds overweight. I was burned out, you know, just all the things.
Totally. Yeah.
And my homeschooling was pretty crappy and I was probably doing not so great work as well. And so I contacted my board of directors, let them know, I just absolutely don't think I could pull this off for another year. I need a plan to back out of this, to close the doors. And we worked together and basically shut the nonprofit down in about 4 to 6 months from that initial conversation. And I had about a 3 year, now I call it a sabbatical. I've been calling it, I quit for 3 years because I had no intention of going back. Yeah. I was done. I was convinced I didn't know how to balance life and a call to ministry work. I'm like, I don't think I can parent and obey you, Father, at the same time. I didn't think it existed. And about 3 years into it, after I started learning about rest, I started learning about Sabbath, I started learning about prioritizing my faith, which is where so much of my refreshing comes from. And God started talking to me about stepping back into entrepreneurship. And I was terrified. I was literally terrified. I was like, I don't know if I can hold it all.
Yeah.
I don't know, Father. And he couldn't shake what I felt like he was asking of me in that season. This was like 2017. And I told him, I was like, okay, if this is what you want me to do, there's two things that I need from you. I need you to show me how to not compromise the care that I've learned to take for myself. And I want you to teach me and show me how to teach other moms how to do the same thing, because you obviously are a God that will call a woman into ministry while she's raising her kids. So if you are a God that will speak to our hearts to advance your kingdom in specific ways, you have equipped us in some way. There's wisdom to do it. Please show me how. And let me, for the other women that you're speaking to in the same way, help me help them. And that's where my organization, my company, Refresh Moms, was birthed out of that desire. And it has evolved from just helping moms learn how to be good stewards over their business with their marketing and their messaging and converting it to finances to sustain their home. So many moms turn to entrepreneurship in order to be more present at home. And the absolute opposite happened to me. I want to contribute financially to the home. My home needs the extra income. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. And I was not as good as a mom. It didn't, that didn't happen for me. I feel like my momming decreased. And I'm like, I can't compromise motherhood for entrepreneurship. So how do they live in the same place? And so there's other moms that are wanting to, I want to work. I want to fulfill what God has told me to do. I want to obey, but how do I do that without compromise in compromising what I want to be as a mom? And so that's, my work started evolving more out of helping them, you know, convert financially, which I completely trust God to help them do, to helping them sustain the call that God had on them, which to me, one of the keys to it is this rhythm of work and rest. And that's now like the majority of my work is around creating opportunities for women to learn about spiritual practices that support Sabbath. As well, in order for them to sustain the call of leadership and ministry that God has put on their, their lives. So that's kind of my journey.
I love that. I love that so much. I love that you brought in some of the skills that you had from you know, your past and being able to move it in to help women in this mm-hmm. specific way. I think that's super cool. And how mm-hmm. God does that, right? He uses these little stepping stones to get us where he needs yeah. us to go. And I think yeah. that's just so encouraging. So that's yeah. awesome. That's awesome. I know that part of your title is a rest coach. And so mm-hmm. I love that term. I've never heard it before. And I'd love to get mm-hmm. a bit more of an idea of what does it mean to coach women to rest, especially in the entrepreneurial space.
I actually refer to myself as a rest consultant, okay. which okay. I'm not going to go in and out of the differences in both, but the consulting part, the reason why I'm going to specify the difference in this definition is because it's intertwined with how they are building their work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to build work that makes room for the sustenance that they need. So you love have that. To be submitted to how the work needs to look in order for you to sustain it. Mm-hmm. And that competes with many of the messages in regards to marketing and what it needs to look like, what presence you need to have on social media and how many mm-hmm. hours you need to work to pull it off. And I'm really, really big on helping them focus on the purpose and that of that's behind the work, which
yeah.
ideally for my client is, I believe God has called me into this work. Mm-hmm. If he's called you into it, you have to rest into that and understand that your work is not your provision, but he is.
Mm-hmm.
Provision and financial goals, two separate things, totally. Two separate things. Now he can absolutely provide through your work. Mm-hmm. It's biblical for him to provide through the work of our hands, but he's not subject to the work of our hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if he asks you to let things go, if he asks you to move at a slower pace than what your mastermind people are moving at, if he's asking mm-hmm. you to stay off social media, you've got to submit.
Yeah.
That trusting that he absolutely knows mm-hmm. how to govern yeah. Your life.
Yeah.
And separating that from the fear of, well, I'm not going to make any money. You really have to separate from a lifestyle that depends on worldly manna, and you've got to tap into divine provision.
I love that.
And so when I'm consulting, and every time I say it, I'm like, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I'm an excellent marketer. That's my background. I've been a marketer for 20 years. People hire me in their companies to shape their marketing. I'm really, really good at marketing.
Yeah.
But it means zero if you're not submitting to yeah. what God is asking of you in regards to your work. Anybody can learn marketing. Anybody can become better at it. That's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when we start trusting our marketing efforts to provide for us over the provision right. of the Father. And so that's kind of, I go in and out of helping them with the clarity, helping them with designing offers that will not overextend them based off of the margin they have, the capacity they have as a mother, the other things that are prioritized in their life. Mm-hmm. We're not going to build a business that you start over functioning in order to sustain. We're going to mm-hmm. build one that respects your season. We're going to build one that trusts in the provision of the Father and also fulfills the call of the work that you have towards the people you want to serve. It's something that you don't just learn that once. You have to nurture it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you have to be so self-aware about, because your capacity and your margin evolves and changes based off of what's happening in your home, what's happening with your kids, what's happening with you. And so the skill set of being able to flex and go in and out mm-hmm. is what I help my clients do.
I love that so much, Deanna. And I even think, okay, how would I take this beyond someone who is an entrepreneur? Because I think I still think it's so applicable. I still think it, you know, those principles of trusting God, you know, that he is our provision and that he wants rest for us, yeah. even in our craziest seasons, and that seasons change. I mean, I see that for the entrepreneur. I see that for, you know, mothers that work away from home. I see that for even just us as Christians and yep. volunteer hours and like stuff like that, right? Like yeah. just being able to be so aware. I work in ministry. So I'm a women's ministry director, and I have a little bit of a tendency to be like, okay, I'm going to put in all the hours and then I expect God that you're going to give me these results.
Yep.
And you know, same thing applies in this case. Like no, God, you were my provision. I'm going to put the work out there and I'm going to trust you that you are going to provide. And it's not necessarily finances. It's going to be the strength. It's going to be attendance. It's going to, whatever it is. Right. And so I just love that because I feel like those are entrepreneurial principles that can be translated into so many other people's lives. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Rest is a heart position. It has nothing to do with your vocation.
Yeah.
As believers, we're all called to understand this divine rhythm of work and rest. It's been created, not provide legal structure to our lives, but it's been created as a gift. He's just a smart, wise God.
Totally.
He just understands how he created us and he knows what we need. For his instructions to work, you know, I absolutely assign to the work 6 days, rest on seven, on the seventh, or work 6 days, rest on one. That rhythm literally has sustained my life. And sometimes the whole interview can be just about how to rest, but rest is not spending a day sleeping. There are ways that God wants to replenish us. And the number one way, the number one place that he wants to refresh us is in his presence. And if we're not creating opportunities for stillness in his presence, we are robbing ourselves of an opportunity for restoration and refreshment. So he's like, I have a plan for your restoration. I have a plan to refill you. I know exactly how to fill you back up, but I can't do it if you don't make room for it. And so it's a kindness, it's a gift. He doesn't force us to do it, but it's available to all that desire it. And it is my goal to help as many people as possible create that rhythm for them, no matter their life season.
Yeah.
Because I'm now like 100% convinced that this doesn't happen well without making room for rest.
Absolutely. I love that. And I've been a big advocate for Sabbath myself. It's something that I talk about fairly often, either on here or just in even my personal life. I'm like, please, Sabbath, please. But there is sometimes a resistance to it. And so I'm curious why. I mean, I feel like I might have an idea, but I would love to know in your experience, why do you think that some men and women are resistant, especially women? Let's go there. Why are they resistant to just diving into a life of rest and Sabbath?
First of all, I really want to hear your thoughts. I'm like, can we circle back to what you think? Because I would love to hear. I'm going to speak culturally.
Okay.
In my culture is American culture. I don't think our culture supports that rhythm, first of all. Nothing in our culture speaks to rest. Nothing. Our culture is one of busy and productivity. The statistics show that we don't know how to rest. Most people are not taking advantage of even like the vacation time and the things that they have that have been built in. You're rewarded for working more. You're rewarded financially for doing more. The weekends, I mean, there's only a handful of places that I know of that close one day a week. We live in a culture where it's, you know, we're moving towards many 24/7 shop, which means people have to be employed to do it. So I think it's a cultural issue. One of the areas when I talk about Sabbath, I deal with Sabbath for marginalized communities and people because, you know, people are like, well, gosh, Sabbath sounds like a middle class opportunity to rest. It doesn't sound like something that's for those that are, you know, working every day just to survive. Which speaks to culture. It still speaks to culture because if leadership, those that are employing the marginalized or those that have influence over how a marginalized life is experienced were convinced that they needed rest. Then they will build in those opportunities as well as make sure the people are compensated well when they're resting. It's a cultural issue. It's the heart of men that need to be convinced. But that's not anything new for us believers because we know we serve a God that does things in an upside down way. Mm-hmm. We know we serve a God that is countercultural. Jesus came and literally blew their minds. They had zero clue that the Messiah was going to be someone that was not overturning government, someone that was not coming to save them from oppression. He did not, he came as a slave and a servant and not as a, you know, as a conquering warrior. You know, they really had to learn who the Messiah was.
Right.
And he spent 3 years of ministry just teaching, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he was countercultural to what, first of all, they thought he was going to be, which is why the Jews just had so many issues.
Yeah.
They're like, this, you can't be, you're from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from there.
Right.
How, we're not expecting someone like you to be who we thought. And then Gentiles didn't even think that he was for them. He didn't, they didn't even think he was coming for them.
Yeah.
He did everything counterculturally.
Mm-hmm.
And Sabbath is no different. It is going against the grain of what we are trained to be normal. We're trained to be busy. We're trained to, for things to be fast and quick. We're trained to be active and get as much done as possible in a 7-day week.
Yeah.
And so to interrupt that literally is a retraining of our hearts, our spirits, the way our mindsets.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you got to trust that that is a better way.
Yes.
You got to trust that I'm not losing out by doing this. I'm actually gaining something that's more valuable. How could it not be more valuable if God has provided it for us? Mm-hmm. Something I say often in my space, maybe it's, we don't believe God is still working when we're not.
Yeah.
Maybe we think that we have to keep our hands in something, on something in order for it to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely not the case. God is like, first of all, it won't get done without me, no matter your effort. I am still the one in control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to trust me with it. And Sabbath is literally an example of our yielding and trusting our lives with into his hands. We're giving him our lives and saying, I believe that you're caring for me. I don't have to be the one caring for me. You are caring for me.
Totally.
So, but I 100% believe it's a cultural phenomena that we, as Americans, I can't speak to other places of the world, but definitely in America, it's not normal to, you know, to not be available for 24 hours. That's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like my family even had a minute, like my extended family, we had to teach them what we were available for on Sabbath days.
Yeah.
And they had to learn my phone is not on my hip all day. So it's not, if I miss your call, it's because my phone is off or it's not near me.
Right.
If it's an emergency, I kind of gave them things to do. If it's something that you absolutely need me for, if you don't reach me, try to reach my husband. You know, we gave them avenues to get to us.
Yeah.
If it was necessary, but they had to be taught that because they weren't necessarily honoring a Sabbath practice, but we had to equip them to help us honor it.
Yeah.
But yeah, to answer the question, that was a long way to say, I just don't think we have been trained in nurtured culturally for that rhythm to be accepted as normal. There's nothing in our lives that speaks to that being normal.
Yeah.
So we have to intentionally make it the lifestyle rhythm for ourselves.
Absolutely. So much of what you said is things I've thought about myself. And the one thing that you said about learning to trust that God has got things in motion, like that he doesn't necessarily need us to keep the world spinning. That is I think a big thing when I share about Sabbath. It's like, for me, it's my weekly reminder that I'm not in control.
Yeah.
That the world keeps on spinning without Leah Rempel putting her hand to everything, you know, and it reminds me that God's best for me, giving me rest once a week. It's what he's asked. And so it's his best. for me. And that's a really hard thing. That's a really hard thing to do. And I'll kind of segue into the next question. I feel like people just don't even know where to start, Deanna. I feel like that's kind of like, okay, this sounds like really great in theory, and I'm not really even sure how to start. And our series right now, or our semester, is called Making Room. And so we are just looking at, how do we make room for the good things of God? How are we making room for things that really matter, for the abundant life? And so I want to start there. How do we start to make room and make way for rest when we have real responsibilities to get to? You know, it is like, I don't even know where to start sometimes. So how do we start to make room for rest?
Yeah. You know, for everybody listening that desires this and desires more of this, that's where it absolutely does start, with that desire. You've got to want it, and you've got to decide it's important for your life.
Yeah.
God is so faithful to take that and to grow that. All right. He's so faithful, but there are practical things that I feel like we can do. And please know that for me, it was an evolution of making room. I did not start enjoying 24 hours of Sabbath just because I decided I wanted it.
Yeah.
Totally. I didn't know how to do it. I had to take little baby steps to it. And when I got there, nobody else in my family did. And I had to honor my 24 hours when my husband didn't. My kids had no clue what was happening until everybody eventually got on board. It was like, mom's on to something. We're going to do this. Right. But I help people start just by understanding the different ways we can rest. Yeah. Most people equate rest to napping and sleeping. I just need more sleep. But we all can think of times where we have slept and woke up and still felt exhausted. Sleep doesn't necessarily rest us the ways all the ways our bodies and spirits need to rest. So I created a free mini course called Make a Rest Plan, which introduces you to the 7 ways that we enjoy rest. I am not the creator of these 7 ways. This does not come out of my brain, but a friend of mine, Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, wrote a book called Sacred Rest. There's 2 books out there called Sacred Rest. One is a devotional. It is not by Dr. Dalton Smith. I do not remember the name of that author. I just don't want people to get confused, because I looked it up the other day. I'm like,
oh,
they're named the same. But one is a devotional book. I'm not familiar with that author. I can't imagine that. It's not beautiful though. But the book that I'm referring to is by Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, called Sacred Rest. And she goes through the 7 ways of rest in detail. So my mini course is just basically a little quick study on those 7 ways. There's 7 videos. They're only about 3 minutes each, and they all deal with those 7 ways of rest. I usually tell people that you can't go wrong starting with spiritual rest, because I believe God can inform you about the other 6 ways of resting just by making room rest with Him. But there's also a quiz. There's a quiz called, I don't remember what the quiz is called, but it'll help you track your deficits.
Yeah. We'll throw it in the show notes.
I don't know. The Rest Needs Quiz. There it is. I'm like, I don't know why I just forgot the name of my quiz. The Rest Needs Quiz is in that free course. Take that first. It's going to let you know what you're saying your deficits are. That way, you know to watch those videos first.
Yeah.
And the videos are going to explain that rest, that type of rest. And it's also going to give you ideas of how to rest in that way. That is a great place to start. Many people find themselves in just watching. Oh, well, that makes sense. Oh, I understand why I feel this way, because my children have light up toys and sirens and PBS Kids playing. I don't know, is PBS Kids even a thing? That's what my kids watched when they were little.
I don't
but,
know.
You know, cartoons or, you know, are playing throughout the entire day. This explains why I'm so touchy. This explains why, you know, because I need sensory rest. You know, it'll help you understand why you might be feeling certain ways in order for you to be proactive and intentional about making room for it. And then I wish I could offer this at the time of this recording, but it's coming. If you get the free Make a Rest Plan course, you'll get on my email list and be invited to my Mom's Guide to Sabbath Rest course. Now, it's called Mom's Guide, but anybody that's desiring rest will benefit from this course.
Yeah, yeah.
It will be a free course. It's just not ready for me to press publish on it, but I will take you through the theology of Sabbath as well as creating the rhythm of Sabbath in your life. We'll explore what does that mean for chores? What does that mean when your family's not on board?
Yeah.
We'll talk about all of that in that course. Mm-hmm. So if you get on my email list, you'll be notified when that's available. So you can even go deeper in creating a 24-hour rhythm if that's your desire.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Those are so many great starting points. And I think the one thing that stood out to me when you were talking was like, it does start with the heart. You know, we can't really do a whole lot else if we don't have the desire there. And it is a good desire. And if we don't have it, we should probably ask the Lord for it.
Yeah, that's a great, you even backed it up another step. If you don't have it, ask God for it. He's so faithful.
Okay. He is. Oh, he totally is. He totally is. So I know that, you know, Sabbath, you said, is that, you know, our 24-hour period of rest. Mm-hmm. And I love Sabbath. I'm a huge, huge Sabbath advocate. Are there other rhythms that you would encourage us to adopt to just kind of embrace rest, maybe on a more frequent basis or like something that might take a little bit longer? You know, kind of give us what are some more rhythms that you would encourage us to adopt?
What a great question. I don't think anybody's asked me that. Yes. So the way I break out rest is I talk about daily, I talk about weekly, I talk about quarterly and annual.
I love that.
Now, the perspective I'm talking about is I'm usually talking to women that are in leadership in some way.
Okay.
And I'm teaching them these rhythms for the sustaining of the leadership. So your daily practices, first of all, you can start creating these once again, just by identifying how you need rest with that Make a Rest Plan free mini course. You start plugging in your day, the things that refresh you. So for example, just about every single day of my life, I'm going for a walk. Right now I'm in a season, I don't know how long I'm going to keep this up, of trying to achieve 10,000 steps a day. It's a little personal thing that me and God got going on. Like, I'm going to honor you in this way because I'm in school right now and I don't have as much time to work out like I used to. And I'm going to honor you by 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
But the walk also lends to my kids tagging along. They like coming. So that's me hanging out with my kids. Sometimes it's just me and I'm in prayer while I'm walking. Sometimes I'm socializing with other neighbors that are out on the street. It lends itself to other layers of refreshment.
Yeah. Okay? Oh, I love that.
When I'm working or studying or doing schoolwork, I love pairing other types of rest with this output of work. So what does that look like? It looks like right now I got some fresh flowers sitting on my desk. Just that fresh flowers refresh me. Candles. I love lighting candles. I love the smell of candles while I'm working. I love listening to worship instrumentals is what I'm into right now. So I love worship instrumentals. I'll plug in, put in my earbuds and just have that play. There's different things that I have happening. A cup of coffee, which arguable is rest or not, but I love it. Different sensory things, different things that are happening that are replenishing me as I'm pouring out. Those are things that I do daily, but you can identify what those things are. And sometimes you identify them trial and error. But once you have your little toolkit, that's what you plug in when you're feeling depleted, when you're feeling like, okay, I know I can't stop, but I feel tired. I need to plug in something for the next 20 minutes before I can continue. Those are your daily opportunities, yoga, meditation, all those things. You create your own little toolkit. All right. Then I always refer to Sabbath for the weekly, always. That is like my number one weekly. Quarterly, I love people taking time quarterly to take deeper dives into what I call mini sabbaticals. So get you a 2 or 3 night away somewhere. If it can't be away somewhere, do you have somewhere you can go, specifically if you have children and you need time away from your kids to replenish? Or is there somewhere you can go with your kids if you can't do that, that is still refreshing for you? Me, I'm either mountains or beach.
Mm-hmm.
I love both of those equally refresh me depending on what I'm thinking I need. And sometimes I take my kids. Sometimes I've never gone by myself. That is a desire of mine to go by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go with a friend. I'll just go with my husband. You know, they can look differently.
Yeah.
But quarterly, I do my best to have some time away from my house because my house is where I do my work.
Yes. And I just want to, that's important.
And then it also reminds me of all the things that are not done, like the yard and laundry piling mm-hmm. up, you know, mm-hmm. if I can get out of the setting that contributes to my need for rest, then I can refresh. So that's like quarterly, if you can pull it away. And then annually, you know, if there's something that you can do annually that you can look forward to, this is my huge annual goal. This is the first year I'll be able to do this, is a 30-day sabbatical.
Wow.
Which it's been my heart's desire. I just don't have it published, but teaching entrepreneurs how to literally prepare their workspace to step away for 30 days, because I don't think you should sacrifice income if you don't have to. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. ways to either prepare for that decrease in income or ways to keep the revenue coming in
mm-hmm.
while you are stepping away from work. So, but regardless, I think anybody can benefit from a 30-day opportunity to sabbatical.
Oh, yeah.
So those are my things. It's the daily, the weekly, the quarterly, and the annual.
Oh, that's so, so good and so practical. Thank you, Deanna. Mm-hmm. That I'm already plotting like, ooh, when could my 30 days be? That would be amazing. All right. Yeah. So we are going to ask a question. I'm the only one here. I'm going to ask you a question that we're going to be asking everyone that comes on. And it's kind of just a, kind of an exploratory question. So within your unique area of expertise and life experiences, how would you define the abundant life?
What a great question for the season of life I'm in right now. There's nothing more important to me. Like this is, I am about to turn 50. I'll be 50 next year.
Mm-hmm.
My children are reaching ages of putting us in empty nest season.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more important to me than the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It's like everything else has, you know, I'm not taken away from the love and nurture of my family.
Mm-hmm.
But even with my son, who's about to go into his senior year, it's like there's nothing more important this year than discipling him.
Yeah.
It's like I no longer can see the value of much outside of mm-hmm. obeying what God has asked me to do.
Yeah.
And the abundant life for me is submitting to that obedience in whatever shape or form.
Yeah.
That he is asking of me and completely divorcing myself from worldly ways of provision as I do it.
That
doesn't mean that people don't pay me for work. That I don't really care what it means. I'm no longer defining it. I'm asking him to do it for me,
mm-hmm.
but it's because I think of the season he's calling me into. I think he's like, for the rest of your days, I want you in the kingdom. I want you in kingdom work. So I don't really have that. To me is so abundant.
Yeah.
It's like, what an opportunity. If I could just close up in a room with a few people and just teach scripture, I think I would be overjoyed. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
send me wherever you want to, Lord. I say that, and then he'll send me somewhere dangerous. And I'm like, not there, Lord. Send me wherever you want to advance the kingdom. And right mm-hmm. now that just feels so abundant. Abundant life are my children's hearts inclined to the Father.
I love
for them to replace works of the flesh. And I equate works to the flesh, not even with sin, but like mm-hmm. performance in school and not disappointing us and with works of the Spirit, for their hearts to desire to please the Father above me and my husband, knowing that if you're pleasing God, you automatically please me and your dad. For their hearts to be completely guided and submitted to God, that's abundant living for me. Yeah, these are the things that are right now, today, those are the things that are like top of mind because of where I am in my study, where I am in my faith walk. It's like, I cannot even see past those things. So that's for me right now. Maybe it'll be different next year, but right now that's abundant living for me right now.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I know I'm excited to see what everybody's response is going to be to that question, because I feel like, abundant life is, you know, probably has some kind of universal meaning, but I feel like, you know, our own life experiences also give it our own little twist on it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been an amazing conversation, and I am so grateful for you coming on here, Deanna. There's a few more questions that we like to ask people just to quickly wrap up. And one of them is, what are some resources that you would recommend to us about this topic, about rest? And I know that you mentioned a few of them already, and of course we recommend you, but is there anything else you would add?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So first of all, definitely the book Sacred Rest, Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith,
Make a Rest Plan.
Have you read it?
I have read that book. It's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's amazing. I love her. Make a Rest Plan, my free mini course. Yes. And the third one is a wonderful, wonderful book by AJ Swoboda.
Okay.
Called Subversive Sabbath, The Surprising Power of Rest in a Nonstop World.
Ooh.
It is life-changing if you want to study the topic of Sabbath.
Ooh, I love it.
There's one more resource, golly. For you Bible nerds out there, if any of you are like, I really want to study this, I really want to understand the theology and the history with the Jewish community about Sabbath, the Bible Project. Are you familiar with the Bible Project?
I love the Bible Project. So good.
I love them so much. I just love them. But they have a series on Sabbath. I want to say it's like 12 podcast episodes. If you download their free app, they have their teachings topically on the app in their library.
Okay.
Just find the one on Sabbath and go for it. It is absolutely incredible. So well studied, so well talked about. And I don't think you can walk away without this complete belief that God was very strategic and intentional about this practice. So if you just want to geek out on it and allow the word of God literally to transform the way you engage with this, I'm telling you, the Bible Project, they've got you covered. It's so well done.
I love that. I'm definitely going to have, I didn't know they had an app. That just like,
yes, girl,
gets me so excited.
It's pretty new. It's pretty new. So yeah.
Ooh, yeah. We're definitely, my editor also loves Bible Project, and my husband loves the Bible Project. So we will definitely be spreading the app love. Yeah. All right. What is a spiritual practice or discipline that has been really life-giving to you right now?
I have this practice called praying in color.
Ooh.
Actually, I have a free tutorial if you're interested, deannamason.com/pray in color.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful, and I'm not the creator of it. There's a book actually called Praying in Color.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that in that tutorial. It's a really, it's a short 10 minute video. And it's just, I pray by doodling. Ooh. And so it's like, I doodle my worship and I doodle, my prayer focus. And then it's just, you know, doodling has this way of helping your mind settle down and quiet.
So it's
that practice that helps me get in tune with prayer and what I want to say to God. And it is one of my favorite ways of praying. So praying in color is one of my favorite things right now.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. That's awesome. No one's ever brought anything up like that before. So great response. All right. If you could assign one piece of homework to my listeners, this is Faith School, so we can give homework here. What would it be?
One piece of homework. I don't think I can say anything new from what I've already said.
Mm-hmm.
No, I am going to say something new. I'm going to say, can you find 5 minutes to sit in silence with a pen and a journal just around this idea of making room for rest?
Yeah.
Just sit in silence. I don't care if you feel distracted for the entire 5 minutes.
Totally.
Just sit in silence. But I'm going to believe that God is going to speak to you on just one little thing that you can do that feels within reach for you right now in your current season. So that's the homework. Set your timer for 5 minutes, 10 minutes if you're feeling jiggy, and just sit. Go outside somewhere and just sit. I give you permission to play instrumental music if you want to, if it helps you focus. And just see what the Lord speaks to your heart in regards to like a next step for making room for rest, if this is a desire of your heart.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us as we conclude our conversation?
I would. I just want you to know that God loves you so incredibly much. He adores you, and he only wants the best for you. And he would never give you a gift that was bad for you. And I just want you to trust that as you explore Sabbath, if it's not a reality in your life, I just want you to trust that anything that he's created and designed is for your good and betterment. And so I just, I just want you to know he loves you so much that he created Sabbath.
I love that so much. And it's so true. It's such a gift from the Lord. Well, Deanna, I am so grateful for you, for your ministry, for the work that you do around rest. I think it's so important. And I'm so encouraged. I'm encouraged myself in a season that feels like I'm flying by the seat of my pants to just even those daily things, like that's so important. So thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Deanna for coming on the show. We want to make sure that you check out the show notes to get access to all of the resources that she mentioned and take that rest needs quiz. Next episode, we have Amber Cullum on the show to talk to us about gratitude. And I'm going to tell you something. This is no like ordinary talk about gratitude. This girl likes to go deep. And so I can't wait for you to hear my personal friend and fellow podcaster, Amber. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at Faith School Pod on Instagram, or you can subscribe to our new YouTube channel, Faith School. I am happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School. We're praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal his kingdom.